If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, and I want to, for now, just read one verse, and that's verse, well, I'm going to read two verses, 41 and 42 of Matthew 22. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." This question asked by Christ was to those gathered in the temple. There were these Pharisees and a bunch of other people there as well. Another account calls them common, and that word common meaning many, basically. This is a good question to ask. What think ye of Christ?
Yes.
I think it was Earl who told us about a man who was to be ordained as a pastor. And someone asked this man, "Who is Christ?" That man, having graduated from a Bible college, as they call them, but this man was perplexed by this question. And I believe Earl said that the man responded with this, "What do you mean?"
Exactly.
There are those in this world who are very religious. They will attempt to tell you who they think Christ is, but they really have no idea who he is. A lot of them will respond with things he has done. He was born of a virgin, died on the cross, was raised again the third day. But they really have no idea who he is. Some may not respond at all, other than to say, "What do you mean?" That answer is no different than the answer we hear from unbelievers in Scripture. Turn with me now to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am, who I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." They said he was John the Baptist. In other words, they thought he was come to herald that one who is to come. They thought he was Elias or Elijah. Some said he was Jeremiah. Some said he was a prophet. They did not say he was the prophet, but that he was just a prophet. We can see from Matthew 16, verses 13 and 14, that most thought of Christ as just another fallen son of Adam. They may have highly valued him as this, but they do not value him for who he really is. It's the same today. They think of Christ as one coming from the dead, and by that I mean they think he has come from fallen, dead, simple men. He's just another man with special gifts, is what they think. These Pharisees said, in 42, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they answered, "They say unto him, the son of David." We know from Scripture that Christ did come through the lineage of David. Matthew even says in verse 1 of Matthew 1, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." This is true that Jesus Christ did come down through the line of David. It traces it all the way down in the book of Matthew as well. So-and-so begat so-and-so. Christ is showing us these Pharisees recognized this to some extent when he said it. But Christ is telling us he is the Son of the living God. There are several places in Scripture where we read that some who were looking for mercy from Jesus Christ, knowing who he was or is, said the following. The two blind men who came to him said in Matthew 9:27, they said, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us."
Yes.
These men had faith in Christ because it says they did. So they called Jesus Christ by faith, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Then we have blind Bartimaeus who cried out in Mark 10:47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me."
Amen.
This man also had faith because it tells us he did. Christ actually told us he did. So he cried this out in faith, "Jesus, Thou Son of David." One more. We have the woman of Canaan whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. In Matthew 15, verse 22, we read, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil."
Yes.
This woman, Christ goes on to tell us, had great faith.
Amen.
This is that one who at first Christ ignored her until she was forced by Christ to admit her sinfulness and her dependency on Christ. She admitted, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She had faith, and by faith she called him, "O Lord, Thou Son of David." Christ is not saying he is not the one spoken of as the Son of David in this passage. He is showing them from Scripture who he really is.
Amen.
As Walter mentioned, they understood from the passage that Christ used, that passage from the Old Testament, that if Christ was the Son of David, then he was the Lord from above.
Yes.
They durst not ask him any more questions after this.
That's it.
So let's look at who Christ is. The Messiah, the propitiation for sin, salvation. So number one, Messiah. In our text, Christ asked them, he said unto them, "How then doth David," and this is in verses 43, Matthew 22, 43 through 45, "he saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" Our Lord presents this to the Pharisees, and they from this point do not ask him any more questions, is what it says. If our Lord says something, it is important. That is whether it is his words specifically or words that he had other men say and had men write them down, because they are all given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
They are all words of God. But we have this mentioned in several other places as well. Acts 2, 34 and 35. And this is, that deals with this, "Until I make my enemies thy my foot." Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Acts 2, verses 34 and 35, we read, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool." Hebrews 1:13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?"
Yes.
Hebrews 10:12-13 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool."
Amen.
And then Hebrews 12:2 we read, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." What does this tell us? What is Christ showing those Pharisees who evidently understood what he was saying, although they did not believe and bow down to what he was saying? They certainly understood the ramification, if you will, of what he was saying being true, especially as it related to himself. Jesus Christ is God. He is that Messiah spoken of in the Old Testament, that one who should come, that Son of David who is God himself, manifest in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15, 22-26, we read, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
Yes.
Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Yes.
This is that one who will have all his enemies put under his feet, because he is the Lord from heaven. But we have one other thing I want to mention as it concerns him being God from above, Messiah. Matthew 1:20 says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We can see here the lineage of David. But what else do we see here? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Mary was a virgin. Joseph, the son of David, nor any other fallen son of Adam, had not touched her. It says, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We know the Holy Ghost is God, one of those manifestations of God, the three in one.
Yes.
God Almighty Father, the Son, by His Spirit, meaning Christ is the Son of God. That one spoken of by David, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou here at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So as I hope we see, but not just see, I hope we believe Jesus Christ when He tells us as He is the Son of God. Many people can see what it's saying, but they cannot believe it to be so or bow down to it.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to understand this, that people can understand and know something in God's Word to be true, yet not believe it, not bow down to it.
Yeah.
But it can and does happen. Not just with them out there. We have this flesh, and it will deceive us. If the Spirit of God is not directing us into His truth, we will not believe God and bow down to His Word. We, in fact, cannot and will not know anything apart from God opening our eyes. That is, opening our spiritual understanding. Of course, to be able to have our spiritual understanding, we must be spiritual. But we are not spiritual by nature. Christ tells us in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I'm not going into the details of this, but where we read, where it says that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, is the same way we become spiritual. We must be conceived of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We see an account on the road to Emmaus with these two men walking with Christ, one who was named Cleopas, but they were telling Christ of all those things that happened of Christ's crucifixion.
Yes.
But their eyes were holden, it says. This word holden means to use strength. By the power of God, these men's eyes were holden, so that they could not see Christ for who He was. But if He is pleased, there will come that time when He will open your eyes so that you will see Christ.
Yes.
Luke 24:31, it says, and this is that account of the road to Emmaus. And it says, And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight.
Yes.
This is the Lord of glory, and He has all power.
Yeah.
He came to do what He was sent to do, and He did. What was that He came to do?
Yeah.
To be the propitiation for sin.
Yes.
So number two, the propitiation of sin. 1 John 4:10 we read, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This word propitiation means atonement or an expiator. Expiator means to make amends or to put an end to. And then the word for atonement means to exchange, restoration to divine favor. So he is the propitiation for us, making atonement for us, exchanging sin for righteousness, restoring us to favor with God. Romans 5:11 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." That great transaction done by God Himself in the person of the Son of God.
Yes.
Him being the propitiation for our sins. Through that covenant made of the three in one. The Spirit of God conceiving Jesus Christ in the Son in the womb. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, making amends to God the Father, put an end to our sin. He done an exchange, restoring us to divine favor with God. What was it he exchanged? He exchanged his righteousness for our sin. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This he has done from before the foundation of the world, because he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Scripture says. What do we read in 1 Peter 1:20? We read, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He was manifestly set forth in time as that Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Him being God come in the flesh, he accomplished that for which he was ordained to do. He was faithful to carry out that great transaction. We, by his faith given to us, then believe and bow down to him, the author and finisher of faith. That faith being given us, I mean the very faith of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That faith which he was fully submissive to of the Father to fulfill everything that was required. He believed the Father that he would be raised from the dead. He was. So what does that make him? This Jesus Christ, this Son of David? It makes him our salvation.
Amen.
So number three, salvation. We read in Scripture where there was one who saw Jesus Christ as a baby. We see little babies and we have the thought, what an innocent little thing. Well, here is an account where this very thing is true. So turn with me to Luke chapter 2, if you would. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I want to read verses 25 through 32. Luke 2:25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation,
Amen.
Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel."
Amen.
Here is one little baby that was innocent. Here is one baby that did not need from anyone else.
Yeah.
He was in fact the salvation of his people.
Yes.
We read it in Scripture, "For he shall save his people from their sin." This little baby did not stay a baby. At the chagrin of those who like their Christmas plays, he did not even stay a little baby while he was on this earth. He grew in knowledge and stature, the Scripture says. When he grew up, he began to say things like in John 4, where we read John 4:22. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. This man, being a Jew, because he is the son of David,
yes,
tells this woman at the well, ye worship ye know not what.
Amen.
This is true for most professed Christians today. They have no idea who Christ is. Is this because we are better than them? Is this because I am better than them? No, not at all. Because Christ tells me this as well when I read Scripture. By nature, I know not what I worship. Does that mean I will preach in a way that might give those a pass that do not bow to this name which is above every name? No, this is God, and we can only preach peace where there is peace.
Yeah.
There is only peace in one place.
Amen.
Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
I can lessen the offense of the gospel by preaching a perverted gospel, but it will not save anyone.
That's right.
The only thing I can do is preach the salvation of sinners, that salvation being Jesus Christ, if he is in fact your salvation. He says he shall save his people from their sin. But this is already in the past because he said it is finished.
Yes.
So I will proclaim his word, for there is nothing else to proclaim. Anything else is sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To believe Jesus Christ is to believe his gospel.
Yes, sir.
The gospel is the record God gave of his son, the son of David, the son of God. When God sends us his gospel, we then believe his gospel, meaning we believe Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and he did what he said he did. Romans 10:10 we read, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not only will you believe it, but you will confess it before men. How do we confess it? The first thing we do is to be baptized. What a humiliating thing to do, to have someone else take me and put me under the water. Just to be clear, though, this is a confession, not a cleansing.
Yes.
The waters of baptism does not do anything to cleanse you from sin. It is a confession that Jesus Christ, being your salvation, having propitiated my sin, has cleansed me.
Yes.
But when we really truly believe, when we really truly receive the love of the truth, we will want to be baptized.
Yes, sir.
But let me mention something else. If you hear the gospel and you believe Jesus Christ and you bow down to Jesus Christ in love to him, God says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Yes.
By the Spirit of God, the things which we hear, which are from the very Scripture that he has breathed out, are sealed to our heart. That new heart given by him. But we are sealed.
Yes.
Christ, when he was here, promised to send the Comforter. This comforter would be sent to guide us into all truth. His truth teaches us that Jesus Christ was obedient unto death. He had faith in that covenant made with the Father, and he carried out that covenant made with the Father in perfect obedience. That obedience that I will never, never match. His obedience manifested him as our salvation. Hebrews 5:8-9 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Amen.
If you obey him, What does that mean? If you believe him.
Yeah.
Bow to him as your all. He is everything in salvation. And I can look to no other for it. I cannot look to myself, and I cannot look to another.
Exactly.
He not only is the spark of my salvation, he is the fulfillment of my salvation. 1 Peter 1:8 and 9 says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So now we know what Christ was telling these Pharisees from Psalms 110, 1, a Psalm of David says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Yes.
Christ, in telling them this passage, then pointing out to them that David called him Lord. If he called him Lord, then how is he his son?
Yes.
He is telling these Pharisees that he is that Lord spoken of in Scripture. That one spoken of having his enemies to be made his footstool. They did not ask him any more questions after this.
Yeah.
It could be that they thought, if Jesus is that one spoken of here, then he is the God of heaven. So we have seen Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, or Christ, our prophet, priest, and king.
Yes.
We read in Habakkuk 3:13, it says, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ is the salvation of his people. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
But let's now go to when our Lord spoke to his disciples, where we turned to before. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 15, we read this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
Amen.
Has God brought this question to your mind?
Amen.
He has mine many times.
Yeah.
He will continue to bring this question to your mind if you're one of his. Your answer will not decide the answer. Mm-hmm. It will not decide what Christ will do for you.
Yeah.
But it will be the manifestation of what you have been revealed.
Yes.
Does your answer match that of Scripture? Matthew 16:16 says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God, because he is the Son of God, that Son of David from whom God would bring forth through his providence, him being born a Jew, not because David said so or planned this out, but because God Almighty had purposed it from the foundation of the world. If you know this, it's not of yourself. It is because God the Father has revealed this unto you.
Yes.
We read in verse 17 of Matthew 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
Flesh, that is fallen sinful flesh and blood, hath not revealed this unto you. No kind of flesh. Not your flesh. Not your parents' flesh.
That's right.
Not the preacher's flesh. Not any other fallen man's flesh and blood reveals this to a man. We are not revealed these things by flesh and blood, and nor do we begin by the flesh and blood. We are not born of God by the flesh and blood. John 1:12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
What does the scripture tell us in John 6:45? It says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. If you are able to confess that Jesus is the Christ,
yes.
We're not just talking about saying it. This is who you think of that, and it's your thought, and you're consumed with this, that Jesus is the Christ. You are convinced in your mind by faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you are able to confess this, to have this thought, then God taught it to you.
Yeah.
Else you would have not thought it. What you think about Jesus Christ is what you think about God, because Jesus Christ is God. Christ the Son, the Messiah, the propitiation for our sin, Christ our salvation, that one who has all his enemies under his feet is God himself.
Amen.
What think ye of Christ? Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to proclaim your Son, Lord. May it be to your honor and glory. We're mere clay pots, dear Lord. Be with all those that are out there, dear Lord, that are yours, even those that are in other places, dear Lord. May you send the message of your Son to all your people. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.